Evening, everyone. Sorry, I'm going to squeak through this meeting because it's been a bit husky this week. So please bear with if it packs up by the end. Rob will be a happy man, that's all I'll say. Right, so hello, everybody. Welcome to the meeting. This meeting is being recorded and the recording will be published. This is not a public meeting, but a meeting of the council held in public. Members of the public, please do not approach the councillors, or councillors, please do not engage with observers during the meeting. I remind councillors of the need to treat all present with respect and ask members of the public to do the same. I respectfully ask members of the public to maintain silence during the council's deliberations, and please could you all make sure your phone is on silent. Next month, this introduction will be included in the agenda so it can be more easily taken as read. And I hope that will please Councillor Murky and Quid in the minutes going forward.
Well, you know, specific minutes need to be accurate. Presumably, won't in the future be in the minutes?
It will be on the agenda as a written item. Anyone wishing to ask?
So, agenda item one.
We have apologies from Councillor Sherman.
Yes, we do.
Unfortunately, he's in hospital and not very well, so he couldn't be with us this evening. We wish him a speedy recovery.
And no absences require approval. No councillors have got anywhere near that stage.
No. Declarations of interest.
I've received no updates from councillors concerning their register of interests. As councillors will be aware, they have 28 days to lodge any changes. I've received no requests for dispensations either. In connection to the items on the agenda tonight, in respect to item 9B, which is, Ian, if you could make 9B appear just in the agenda there so people know what I'm talking about. In respect of item 9B, Councillor Robinson has informed me that until further notice he will not be participating in planning decisions concerning parish council matters at meetings of this council. He will continue to participate in the planning working group. In respect of item 9D, Ian?
Yeah.
D. Councillor Robinson has informed me that since item 9D relates to one of his disclosable pecuniary interests, he will leave the room for that item. Item 15, Councillor Robinson has informed me that following a complaint raised with the monitoring officer which has been dismissed, that he considers it prudent for him not to participate in item 15. The next point is, I am anticipating that a number of councillors will need to leave for the report and motion concerning a land boundary. And I'm also aware that a motion is likely to come tonight to defer item 9C, which is the terms of reference for the planning working group. So, last question from me at this point. Do any councillors wish to declare any interest concerning tonight's agenda, of which I'm not aware? And secondly, in general, do councillors have any updates to their previously declared interests? No? Chris, did I outline your concerns appropriately there?
Yeah, I think so. Well, obviously, I won't be in for the last one.
We talked through this earlier, and I think that was what was supposed to happen. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Thank you. So that's the end of items 2 and 3, interests and dispensations. Thank you all. So the next bit is minutes. Do you want to
go from there, Jan? We have a recommendation to approve accurate the minutes of the council meeting held on the 4th of June 2026, please?
You can, but I need to tell people that I've received two requests for amendments and I've made those changes to amendments. So they are not significant. The very first is that relating to the very last item on the meeting, in the last item of the meeting, it should have said, before that last item, Councillor Robinson left the meeting as the only remaining item related to one of his pecuniary interests. On the last item, it should have referred to that. That's the last item. There it is. So it's an amendment to that. And the second point is that with respect to the item concerning a footpath working group, I've added the explanatory sentence. Councillor Robinson explained that he considered it inappropriate to him to participate in the debate because he owns land over which one of the longest public rights of way in Lavenham is there, and therefore that he did not participate in that discussion. So I've made those two changes, which I'm happy with. One of them particularly was an error, so I thank Councillor Robinson for pointing that out. And now I should hand back to you, Chair, and ask you whether you can find a proposer.
There was no opening statement by the Chair.
It was asked to be taken as read, but that's why we've read.
I thought that was a rhetorical question.
So I'm just saying that's why we've changed it this time, and in future it will be on the agenda as a written statement.
But this time it's included.
I know.
It is the case that the Chair did ask for that statement, the usual statement, to be taken as read. You're obviously, of course, entitled to whatever your opinion, of course.
So, have we got a proposal?
Sorry, what was the question?
The last set of minutes, Alison.
I'll propose.
So the proposer was Alison. Okay, do they have a seconder?
I was here, so I can't second it.
No, you are here. So to include Janice's amendment, please, that she.
So you would like? Would you like me to amend them to take out that announcement was made?
In yes.
That case, I will take it out.
In okay. In that case, I will
second them. Seconder was Janice. It's a vote.
Can I vote for that, please?
Yes.
Frank?
I left halfway through, so I'll abstain.
Fair enough. Okay.
I'll abstain.
Okay, so what have we got here?
Yes.
Two seconds
ago.
There's two.
I wasn't here, abstain.
You weren't here.
And I wasn't here either.
But since no one's voted against them, those minutes have passed. Okay.
I wasn't here.
No, sorry.
Was anybody here last time?
Yes, Janice and I, apparently.
Four people were missing. Okay, shall we move on to the next item?
Yeah. To record no objections of the draft minutes of the annual parish meeting held on May the 21st, 2026. They were included in your...
So they were included in the pack. The councillors who were present were councillors Ranzetta, Bourne, Dominey and Sherman. Fortunately, we have three of those four people tonight. And indeed, obviously the members of the public can't propose or second the motion. But this isn't for us to approve them. This is just that in a year's time, it can be said, hopefully, that councillors Ranzetta, Bourne and Dominey regard those as accurate minutes of the
I'll
meeting.
Propose it.
I'll second it.
So the second one was proposed by Jane. Did you propose?
Yes. No, Alison proposed.
Jane said I did. Frank agreed.
So that's why, and I would expect, frankly, everyone else to abstain because they weren't there, unless if that's reasonable for all concerned.
Yeah.
Right. You could have listened to the tape, but I appreciate. People may not have done.
That's right, I weren't there either.
Chair's announcements.
Yeah. As we've already said, Councillor Sherman is unwell, so we wish him a speedy recovery. Concerns were raised. Concerns were raised concerning the function of the fire hydrants during the Spring Street fire. Councillor Lindsay has reported that Suffolk Fire Services believed the hydrant was capped because it was awaiting repair by Anglian Water, which they have now done. It appears the timing of the fire was unfortunate. I'd like to thank District Councillor Clover for his work over many weeks to understand who is responsible for the resolution of the flooding issues adjacent to Lavin and Butchers, and to get a full reply from Suffolk County Council. I recognise this answer may not be what the residents wish. Work has begun to improve the Harwood Place play area. Baber Council consulted with the tenants and residents who live around Harwood Play Area last September as part of their Greater Places project. This project funds tenant-led improvements to communal spaces owned by the Housing Revenue Account. They door-knocked and letter-dropped everyone in the area to ensure that everyone had an opportunity to give their views as to what would improve the area. It was generally agreed to be rather tired looking and could be improved to provide more activities. Guidance from the tenants and the residents was then used to develop these plans to improve the play park, which has now been carried out. So I think we ought to put it on a job to do is to go up and have a look. I know that the clerk has repeatedly unlocked and locked the electricity cabinet at Water Street car park to enable Connect Curb to have access, and it and has nagged them to complete the project. I'm glad to report that these chargers are now operational. He has also tells me that he has heard from the Connected Curb operational team concerning Prentice Street chargers, and so I'm pleased to say that these will at some point be active. Finally, it is my intention to speak shortly with the residents who live near the proposed speed indicator post on the First Meadow side of Brentley Road. Each needs to agree the post and therefore a device for the device before a post can be applied for. So I shall be going and asking people to sign a piece of paper. Okay, and that's it from me.
It is. So if you turn that page in your wording, you have the section on, was it page forward or backwards? It was there somewhere, the public participation section. I saw it a moment ago. It's there. Sorry, my fault. If there is someone who wants to speak, of course.
Okay, so we're now on public time protocols. Anyone wishing to ask a question or make a statement has 3 minutes. Matters raised must be in respect of the business on the agenda or local matters only. The standing orders of the council are clear that this public participation session is for 10 minutes, and that it is at the discretion of the chair whether further time is allowed. It may not be possible to give everyone the opportunity to speak, but I will try to accommodate as many as I can. If your question cannot be answered tonight, please contact the clerk with your name and contact details, and you'll receive a written response within 28 days. This protocol will also be included in next month's agenda so that it can be taken as read. Is there anybody who would like to speak? No. Yeah. Lovely. Thank you. Okay. The clerk will now read Councillor Lindsay's report.
So, Ian, if you could quickly put it on the screen. I'm not going to read it word for word because it's on the website. So I'm just going to tell you the headlines. The headlines are that Suffolk County Council is going to mount a judicial review concerning the government's decision to move to 3 unitary councils in Suffolk. So that is now going to go ahead. The next point is that, and this is quite a big issue perhaps, certainly here in Lavenham, is that the fees that the council charges students for their school buses are going to remain held again for another year, although I know that this is a contentious issue because in Lavenham you get them to go for one school in Sudbury but not the other. The next point is that Suffolk has joined a support scheme for apprenticeships, and this is that in the UK employers who have an annual pay bill of more than £3 million have to pay 2.5% of their payroll into a fund to use for apprenticeship training. Norfolk has a scheme that allows such businesses to donate any of the levy they don't use themselves to smaller businesses in the county that might want apprentices but can't afford them, and Suffolk has now joined that scheme. And his last piece of information is that Suffolk Fire and Rescue has invested over £3 million in it. To the next page. Yes, there it is. Yep. So in a fleet of 11 new fire engines across the country, which will be active from November. That's Councillor Lindsay's report. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Clover, Councillor Mabry.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, okay. So, picking up on your mention of the will, this has taken a long time to really get an answer. And there you can see on the screen what their answer is. So the neighbour next door to that butcher's is responsible for the maintenance of the water course. It's what they call the responsibility of the repairing owner. However, he's not responsible for other assets like grills and trash screens. So, I mean, they are not statutory obligations. So my thought is that actually maybe a quiet knock on his door to see if it is a he or she, what their attitude is about the trash can, because of course it could, if we get a lot of leaves coming down and that doesn't filter out, it's going to drop the cover and we know what's going to happen there. So I'm happy to do that, or we can discuss that with the clerk and the chair and the members of the parish council on that one. So that's really where we are on that. It's taken, I can't think how many months to get to this point, but yeah, so at least that's the answer on that one. Then moving on. The joint local plan. Now, this is of interest because of the whole business of call for sites. So, the scoping consultation has now been launched, and this invites residents to share their views in terms of how they would like to see their communities developed in terms of social, economic, and environmental factors. And of course, one of the big ones is housing. The call for sites register, which they've been promising to publish. Now looks like that won't happen towards the end of the year. In terms of better recycling, it's fair to say it's been a painful process. Even today I've had emails saying we haven't had our bins or they haven't been collected. It's still the best way to log any issues is at that recycling at bavermidsuffolk.gov.uk. But if you really feel you're not making headway, we can talk to take it higher up if that's what needs to happen. But do use that website to start with. And as Councillor Lindsay says, on LGR, they are challenging the process. I have to say I'm unclear what they're seeking to achieve by it, because I can't see the government actually saying, well, we're not going ahead, particularly with the change of Prime Minister that we've got coming on there. So, really, one has to query what they're looking to achieve there. But anyway, that's their decision. If you just raise it up with William, please. So Sudbury bus station improvements. £250,000 has been awarded to improve the bus station for passengers and operators. So, like, quite what that will achieve, we'll see. But Bayber District Council and Suffolk County Council are also to carry out a feasibility study to explore long-term options for the site, and that could include actually moving the site as well. Quite late, I don't know, but that's one of the other options. It's been identified that there's over 1,000 families in Suffolk that are failing to claim the support available to them. Healthy Start is actually about eating healthy food options, and it's an NHS-sponsored initiative. So there's the website details for it, www.healthystart.nhs.uk. And there's more money available now as well for those families, so they've increased the payments. And finally, on the Suffolk Wine Trail, yes, we've got in Suffolk now, I think it's somewhere about 8 vineyards. And so to promote the wine tourism, there is now a website, I Visit Suffolk, which shows you more information about the trail, and there's also an interactive map that you can use. Most of these places are in reasonably remote locations. And that's really all from me. I can take any questions or pass you over to Councillor Wilkins. No, thank you.
I just want to ask Paul a question.
Yeah.
If you're going to knock on their chaps or ladies or whoever else,
only with everyone's consent. Yeah.
But if you are, could you not help with some of your locality budget?
I'd have to see whether that is
it can towards it, because it wouldn't cost an absolute fortune.
I wouldn't do
it,
right?
And obviously with all the hot weather, you're going to get a lot of dead branches, dead trees mm-hmm. coming down. And if that does block that culvert up, there's going to be a lot of houses that it affects.
Yes. In principle, I have no objection, but I have to check out whether it can be used in that way. Yeah. Yeah. Frank?
speaking as the Hornet Warden for London, vineyards will be particularly vulnerable to attack from yellow-legged hornets because all the sugar content of the grapes will attract the beggars. That we need to install hornet traps to basically identify their arrival if, God forbid, they ever get here.
Right. Have any been found in this area?
The Lowestoft area, they come over on ferries.
Right.
And then you will get distribution by hitchhikers because the insects climb onto the trucks, and there are isolated locations around truck stops along the motorways. And they will spread from there. So this is why I'm trying to organise school visits and talks, because we need as many eyes as possible to identify the nests, so DEFRA can destroy the nests and the queens. If we have a mild winter, then a lot of queens will overwinter, and the economic damage is frightening.
Yeah.
Chair, I think Councillor Donovan, do you mean Lowestoft or do you mean Felixstowe?
Felixstowe. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. I just had two items. I've been somewhat busy, so I've only just got the two items. First of all, I've had a review with an officer about the fire in Spring Street. Sadly, we had the fire, but on a positive note, this has raised one or two issues, and they are rewriting some of their policies, particularly how the emergency officer and the team are engaged. So that's on a positive note. The other is, I would ask everyone, and particularly I'm going to ask the clerk, if it's possible to put on your website at all, the request to ask traffic, drivers, whatever you'd like to call them, to be more careful at this time of year, because harvest has started, and there have been one or two incidents already of traffic going far too fast, and tractors, trailers, combine harvesters, they are much bigger than you are, and you will come off worse. So it may be a request to ask all local drivers to be aware that harvest has begun and to have a little more consideration on the road. Thank you.
Margaret, can I just ask a quick question? Do they know the cause of the fire?
That has not been specifically defined yet. The information that I have been given was a little woolly, so no, we don't know. They are still talking about completely demolishing and rebuilding from scratch the old property.
Oh, really? Yes. As I know, I think it was in Clare that there were some council houses which had a solar panel that burst into flame. And I just wondered if it was a solar panel.
No. That has never ever been mentioned that it was a solar panel. Thank you. Yes, Frank, go ahead.
Seeing as you mentioned it's coming up on harvest season, it's probably time to mention care with fire and open flames, because we don't want wildfires.
No. I did have the fire engine, and it looked like a brand new one to me, so I was interested that Councillor Lindsay said they weren't coming in until November, I think it said. I've never seen that type of fire engine before, went zooming past me the other day through my village. So we are on alert. Please, if you're going to smoke, for goodness sake, put it out properly on stones rather than any grass at all. And no barbecues, outdoor barbecues, no bits. Disposable ones, out on a picnic. That would be my advice, anyway.
Thank you. Any further questions for councillors? No? Okay, thank you. We'll move on then. So, the clerk and the financial report, please.
Absolutely. Ian, could you... Thank you. That's super. That's exactly the page I wanted. The accounts for May show no substantial variances except the £10,000 saving because no tree work has been done. That's the big blue line. Tree maintenance is on the agenda as an item, and you'll all have seen my report, and we'll get to it then. A much less substantial variance, which is the other second blue blob, is the cost of answering the Freedom of Information Act request. It wasn't £1,500 as feared, it was about £1,000, and most importantly, that's been resolved, including the requests for any emails to and from non-councillor members of the Neighbourhood Plan Group concerning the design of that survey, and we did not supply any of those emails. But most importantly, the recipient, the person who requested it, is happy. So the accounts show two major variances. Everything else is the third tiny block on the right, which you can see is absolutely minuscule. So that's what the accounts show. And I think the next screen, Ian, is the receipts and payments. No, it's not. That's the graph and the that's the very detailed accounts. That's the balance sheet. This is our receipts and payments. I've known people will be very familiar with the items on there. I don't wish to make people sit here on a lovely night and listen to them. So unless anyone's got any questions they'd like to ask me, I'll ask the chair to put up the motions to approve the accounts for May and the receipts and payments.
Could I ask a question?
To the chair.
Yes, Madam Marshall.
What is the money for Water Street on the accounts? Or something that says money for Water Street?
Oh, we pay JPB. Ian, could you go up? No,
too
I'm
far.
Absolutely happy to. No, it's still up. So Water Street is there. So the answer is we pay. So Water Street is the sort of little block in the middle there, Ian. Sorry. Jane, I'm very sorry. So we pay £50 a month to JPB to do all the weeding, stuff like that, and make sure it doesn't turn into a right mess. And the other £192 is what it says it is. It's the business rates for that site. That's what we pay.
So it's actually the car park. It's not Water Street itself. It's Water Street car park.
Oh, yes, it is the car park. Sorry.
That's why I was a bit confused.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Just a question. What's the
Defib World? You buy defibrillators from them. So when the lovely Mr. Snelling tells me that actually we need new pads, new batteries, etc. for the defibrillators, I go off to Defib World and buy them.
So the parish council
So Mr. Snelling wonderfully checks them and then tells me what needs replacing. But we then buy the bits. Yes,
so
we do.
Which ones is assembled on?
We buy the ones for the ones that are our responsibility. We don't buy the ones for the things down by the rec, which I think is the community council.
There's one on the angle that tells them.
There is one on the agent.
One in the cricket and the playing fields.
Yes, those three or four. Yep. So if it's perhaps twice a year, normally not only once, you know, we pay out an amount like that to DFib World. Otherwise, they won't work.
Oh, right. Okay, no, I just haven't heard.
No, no, it's a really good question.
What is the burial income at Halstead Memorial?
Oh, so that is that in the cemetery, if you want to put up a headstone or a ashes thingy, they are the people that. So they do the engraving, not us.
Yep.
So if you're they then charge, therefore, the person who wants this, their engraving fee, the stone cost, and our fee, which is on our website, and it's one of the fees that we agree each December each year.
Okay.
That's what that is. Anything else?
Anything else?
Okay. We normally vote for these together, although we understand that actually they get recorded as two items.
Okay. So could I have a recommendation for approval, please? Thank you, Jane.
Seconder was Chris.
Yep.
And a vote?
Yep. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
I'll say yes as well.
Oh, sorry, I'm in.
We're trying to use the other people on the right.
I like you sitting here.
Yeah, how long have you been on the right, are
you? Oh, very clever. I like that, I can see everything.
Right, so the planning register comes next. I'll do this and then I'll hand over to Ian to do the planning report. So Ian, if you could whiz down to the planning register. Or if it's... It is. So, Ian, could you make it so that people can see the column on the right as well? Right. Yeah, that'll do. So what this tells us is that... In the decisions we received in April were all in. They were all approvals by us, and so did Weber. May, they were all approved. We thought they should all be approved, and Weber agreed. June, we thought they should all be approved, and Weber has agreed. What we have outstanding is 40 Prentice Street, which we're waiting for Weber to determine. Second Meadows, similarly. The Angel Hotel, similarly. The Hall Hall Road. Since I prepared this, Weber has agreed that those gates should be okay. So they've approved those. And then we have the two more items on there as well. The dog walking area and the solar panels.
Dog walking area has been withdrawn.
Has it?
Yeah. And interestingly, there have been more objections added since.
Thank
our
you,
last review. So there are now 9 objections.
So I wasn't aware it had been withdrawn. All I knew is I hadn't heard.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So it's over now to the Ian, your planning report. I hope you got my email earlier where I said that actually Weber has discharged the conditions concerning the house on the former police station site, so there is no point in talking about that.
Yes, I've actually got. I can actually see them on the.
Okay.
The filing list as well, so I mentioned that. Yeah, so this one.
It's gone.
Yes, this is being granted.
It's gone.
Can you find the. Yeah, granted. So there's no point in keeping that out. 2700 has been granted as well, so is there anything to talk about that one? So that was the biodiversity enhancement and lighting. 2367, I'm just checking.
we have an extension for this till tomorrow, Ian, so it's definitely still live. We were formally consulted on these, so therefore I can sort the dates.
Okay, I can talk through this one. So, just property, for those who know, that's Bridge Street Road, and the railway line there, the bridge of the Bridge Street Road, right far up here. So it's the first of the properties on the left here, the large one, which you can see driving past. It's a really big property. Back up to the notes. It's great to visit it, and there is quite detailed documents about heritage assets. There are quite a few, but the changes that have been proposed are actually in later extensions, not in the original property, which had some very early timber work, and some of that is really been effective. The ground floor changes are removing cloakroom that was added in 2015, modifying 1970 doorway, giving access to the plant rather than room 21. I'll show the panel in a minute. First floor changes the principal bedroom suite was created as part of the extension added in 2015. No historic features are affected as indicated in the design and access statement. You can see this is the ground floor. So the change is strip out existing cloakroom fittings here and remove existing window between cloakroom and porch, which is in there, and move existing zone door, which is there. First floor changes are AO4, former new door opening into principal suite. Strip out existing ensuite for dressing furniture, which is here. And then the closet is being created here out of what was part of the bathroom. And the access to this is closet and into the bedroom. New timber door, building 3 is added there. We have 4. Here's the idea. So it's all happening, I think. So the entrance dressing is through by BO5, BO6. So this is all, this is part of the modern extension here. So, my own view is that no historic features affected and we should recommend approval. I don't know if anybody wants to any more information with me up, I can get access to the court. Or maybe would rather the time access
to it. Was this the house that's recently been sold? Or am I thinking of the one next to it, the very large one, the Leylands? Lavalons, rather. It's a beautiful property.
It's great.
And the details said that it was a very, very high spec and it's been clearly well looked after. So whoever's bought it is obviously going to keep it in a similar condition.
Yes, there is information, say, in the heritage report, and I'm going through it, indicating the old part of the building.
About for 2 million.
But they are further down here. You can't see them on this.
Mm.
And this is the end part of the building down here. I bring up the plans and you'll see it. But there's not all the details of the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll talk you through the
end.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. Yeah.
Okay, so Ian recommends approval.
Ian's the proposer. Who would actually like to be the second? Was Janice.
Everybody else?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah. Okay. Agreed.
Yes.
Yes.
Crisp stone.
Oh, sorry, Irene. That's so quiet.
That's Lavalin's. Okay.
And the next one. I've seen an awful lot. This is about adding a broadband box to a great facility. A bit surprised at this because I've seen a number of these boxes added to these buildings all over the village, and there's going to be an application.
Yeah.
Frankly, I think for the size of the box and where it's located, I'm surprised at that.
I've got to mention
it's
about
this big. at this bit of ground.
This is nonsense.
So I mean, obviously, it's very key. You go to the location there, which on there, I can put in red, it's actually just going to be there.
There's another grid.
There's already there.
There is one already there, isn't there?
So, I mean, you can talk about it more, but frankly, I
second that.
So, Ian.
Yeah.
Ian was the proposer again, was he?
Yeah.
Seconder was.
Jane.
Jane.
I'll vote for it, yes. I really recommend
approval.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. Yes. And that's it.
Lovely.
Quick question, if I may.
Yeah. I noticed the reconstruction work on the Angel has left a large area of the cavity wall open to the air. This is an attraction for swarms of bees to move in and getting them out. When they get in, it's going to be a nightmare. What's the protocol on me talking to the owners to suggest they put some sort of a cover over it?
Well, I mean, really, it's their problem.
It's their problem, but am I going to get into trouble because they're making a planning application if I go and bang on their door and say, this is not wise?
Tim, if I may, I mean, I think that if somebody was just being helpful and friendly and explaining people, I think that personally they would appreciate being told that there might be a problem coming down the line if they don't do something.
Good point.
Not a planning matter, it's a neighbourly matter.
Yeah, you can say you're a beekeeper.
Yes.
And also, they probably appreciate, I don't think they intended on it being open for quite so long, to be fair. So,
I think that would be my advice. It's their local beekeeping friend.
Okay.
Lovely, thank you.
What he happens to in the rest of his life is not relevant to that. In fact, he's a councillor, is not relevant.
It's
beekeeping.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before we go on to items 9C or 9D, I need to apologise to council and say I didn't read the public realm bit of my clerk's update. It's not over so long, but I need to just quickly go through. The Chair's spoken of the recent progress concerning the EV chargers. The next item is the toilets are in a much better state. The new cleaner is really getting on top of the ingrained grime. But sadly, again, a lock has started to fall off and has had to be repaired. And the coin box in Prentice Street was either broken into or the tape holding it together failed in the heat. Fortunately, such coin boxes are no longer made. And also the cash there is not that's collected there isn't significant, but I shall see if we can do a permanent repair. Second item is, I've asked Suffolk Street Lighting but not had a response concerning whether a bollard light could be considered in Church Street. The third thing is, the leases for the office and the toilets have been signed. These say that rent is only payable from the start of the leases, which is not an unusual clause in leases. But so it may be that these will have been effectively rent-free for the last 3 years. I shall see what Baber bill us. If they only bill us from the start of the leases, then we will have a write-back of some £3,600 of accrued rent, because we have, of course, been accruing £100 a month or so. For the district councillors didn't hear that, of course. It's been my intention to order the replacement street bins for the High Street this week, but a family emergency got in the way. And following the motions passed at the last meeting of council, I've advertised that council would like to receive applications for grants and have instructed our solicitors regarding the paddocks allotments, but they still wait for a draft lease from Hartlepool Hutton. There is nothing for them to do. And indeed, the last thing I should mention is that the Lavenham Walk sign has been repaired and redirected. There was a fallen down sign there, so we've fixed it. Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and apologies for getting that out of order.
Excellent.
So the next item is 9C.
I was going to raise a motion on looking at the terms of reference for the planning working group, and I'm asking councillors if you are happy for that to be withdrawn at this time, and we'll just for further discussion.
proposer, therefore, was
Jane,
was it?
Mm.
Okay. The seconder for this purpose is going to be
Lizzie.
And then Mr. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
But.
Oh. Squeaky! Squeaky!
Just start over there. Right.
Yeah, I'm going to next time.
9D then.
Motion to write to Baber District Council concerning the status of a recent document submitted to Baber District Council with respect to planning application DC 2601302, erection of the Wellness Centre. Sorry, Chris.
We'll come and ask you to come back as soon as.
I was quite astonished to, when I was just checking the status of some of the planning applications that we've dealt with in the last few months, to find that the report of the household survey conducted by the LNP group has been submitted in full to the portal in connection with this planning application. There was no covering note and no explanation as to who has sent it. I do think that it's a bit odd, and I want it to be made clear to the planners that that document currently has no status. It is not a maze plan. What it is resident opinion presented in quantitative form and a few comments representing about 20% of the people that actually filled in the questionnaire. And I don't actually understand the purpose of it being on the portal, but I do believe that the opportunity is the LPA that they should set it aside, they should not be allowed.
That seems to be deleted. I mean, it's a server, of course. That can be deleted.
I have no idea. I don't actually know how things get on the planning portal, to be perfectly honest with you.
I'm aware that the owner of the property submitted it to the local planning authority, and the local planning authority then, as we know, put it on their portal. I have not spoken with the local planning authority at all about this, so I have no idea whether we could get...
Well, I can also tell you, I spoke with the chair of the LNP group, and he confirmed that neither he or any member of the group submitted it. And I think that he didn't agree or disagree with me, but I've written to him separately on a different matter in connection with the survey, and obviously that letter that I have written, following his request at the last meeting, the council was to scrutinise the outcome of the survey. Some of the report might change. So I think that we need to be, you know, drawing it to the attention of the LPA that it may not be a final report, and in any case, it has no status at this point.
I agree. I don't think it's appropriate that it's used as evidence to support somebody's planning application.
And I would propose an amendment that we request, if possible, for it to be removed.
Yeah, I would support that.
We'll disregard it, which I also ask if possible, that it can be removed.
It could go on to say, the clerk is also instructed to ask Baber to remove the item, which they may write back saying,
yeah.
Dear clerk, no. But...
So we need to move the
amendment first of all, whether this is going to be the new motion and go from there, I guess.
Okay.
Would you like me to have the motion?
Yes, please.
Okay. So the motion is to amend the motion so that it reads as Ian just described. It's exactly the same sentence as there, except it has about 9 words on the end. The clerk is also instructed to ask Baber to remove the document.
Yeah.
So we're changing the motion to add the clerk instructs, is asked to in, So the proposer of that was therefore Ian. The seconder was Janice. Are you up for me to keep going for a sec?
Yeah.
So, hang on, I'm good at this.
Yes.
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 Yeah. Abstain.
Yes.
Yes.
And now the motion is that. So the original motion is now gone.
And
so the proposer was then ISM. The seconder, have we got one? Jane. And we vote again.
Oh, yes.
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 Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So that is so 9D is now completed. We should ask Chris to join us. Thank you, Rosh. Postman's in the preschool. Do you mind passing? Otherwise,
he doesn't do Roy.
Roy. Clark, sorry. Next item is item 10, which is about the LNP. I've got the minutes here, Jack. Obviously, Councillor Sherman isn't able to be with us. Do you want to, people have read the minutes, but do you want to give us an update at all on matters LNP?
I can try. Alison, can you help me here, please?
No.
Thank you.
I think it says on the board, isn't it?
I think my major point would be people have had the chance to read what's on here.
They're there in pretty clear format.
Is there anything you wish to highlight or tell people that you know because you're on the LNP group, or maybe not?
Ian, could you go down to the very end of it? I think it was any other business.
Okay.
I wondered about that and whose decision that was.
It was mentioned at the meeting. I can't. Can you remember who said it?
I had a conversation with Jeremy from the Lowland Community Council. I spoke to him again this morning, actually, at the coffee morning. And he was saying that they are very keen to help and we should be looking at doing more community events. And in terms of the insurance, it was never the insurance that stopped the carnival, etc. And they would be happy to sort out insurance, etc. So I think it was really just saying that next year, hopefully, we're going to be looking to do more stuff for the village.
But Hidden Gardens is separate to that, I assume, because the community council didn't provide
insurance. Didn't they?
I didn't believe so.
Okay, well. It's a bit odd.
Recently, and because you said to me they just paid for something recently and it only cost them £100 or something.
I'm confused too, because traditionally how it used to be is that the Lavenham Community Council was able to provide, I think it was basically public indemnity insurance, for events that it wasn't organising but were in the village, such as Hidden Gardens. Hidden Gardens tried to, I understand, do what it had always done in this area. In other words, use the auspices of the community council. And the community council said, sorry, we're not able to provide that insurance anymore.
Because actually, I'm pretty sure you told me that they did.
So I don't know. That's what I've been told.
Well, I can check that out and find out.
Maybe from the time that you've done Hidden Gardens to now, they've found a different policy that's reinstated it.
I don't know.
Shall we go back?
He knew that the figures would be low for insurance because they had just done an event and the only recent event was the Open Gardens. But I'll check with him.
Okay. We'll check that. Ask him to. If you could ask him to put it in writing. That would be too. Well, just an email, just so that we've got something. Okay. Does that help, Shanna?
Yeah, I'm just curious as to why it was on the LNP group.
It just came up. It was reported because they're in the LNP, it's come up about doing more things for the village and having events, and that was a way of, an obstacle that we have.
I literally spoke to him again this morning and he seemed very keen to get both events. going.
I think the problem is the volunteers. I know that there's not going to be a Christmas fair this year, from what I gather.
Well, not this year.
From the Love Lavenham group, because nobody's come forward to volunteer. And that's the problem.
It's slightly different. Like Jane, they did ask them to pay them money, and the shopkeepers didn't go for it.
Hidden Gardens took it for volunteers.
Did they?
We did.
So we.
God, same old thing, isn't
it? It is the same.
Mm. Well, that's why he was saying it wasn't the insurance, because I was under the impression it was the insurance that stopped the carnival. And he said, no, it's not the insurance at all. And then he came into the story that they'd recently done insurance for another event. But he said it was volunteers. Couldn't get the help.
Because he wasn't here.
Eh?
Where's the journey? Lives in the village when they're on the
carnival. No, but he was just down the road, wasn't he?
I don't know.
I thought the biggest problem was the public liability insurance.
Well, he said it was, well, again...
Well, I'm only thinking for the carnival, because people couldn't have floats. Because yes. It was the public liability of the floats that was the issue.
I mean, that might be, because obviously whatever event he'd done wasn't going to have a moving float.
Yeah.
But even so, in fact, we've mentioned doing a carnival without a procession, just doing something up on the playing field. So all of these things are up for discussion.
Mm.
And we can tie him
in. Okay, well, perhaps we'll have a meeting and we'll get something in writing. That would help.
We can do it.
We can do that. Thank you. So, any other questions regarding LMP at this time? No? Thank you. Right, so it's on to number 11.
We are on to item 11. 11 is the bullying and harassment policy. I'll take people through the introduction. As it says here, on the 22nd of April, I wrote to all councillors saying that I would, in response to a request from a councillor, draft a bullying and harassment policy for comment and feedback. And on the 22nd of April, I did draft such a policy. On the 6th of May, Councillor Morford responded there, and as you can read, he says, I wish to propose the attached redraft. This draft draws heavily on the early draft, but I hope it provides greater clarity. So, I attached in this doc, in the working papers, my draft, and the councillor Morford prepared redraft. I think, therefore, the options to council are: one, they could approve my policy, or two, they could not go for that. They could indeed pass the motion suggested by Mr. Councillor Morford, which is that the council adopts the redraft policy and notes that what the Council of Conduct says to all parish councillor members about when the Code of Conduct applies. And as this motion goes on to say, as part of any consideration of when the second bullet point above applies to LPC members, that the Baber District Council Monitoring Office is formally requested by this council to include situations where the code would apply, such as attending and participating in a local event, speaking or corresponding by letter, email, WhatsApp, app, etc. with a Lavenham resident, or C, communicating by his or her personal social media or any local Lavenham local business social media, such as the two Facebook pages, and the subject of that interaction is relevant to the parish council. So it is a revised policy with an additional note here, and then Councillor Morford goes on to explain why he thinks that this addition. Councillor Morford, I shall hand over to you to actually project to explain better, but that is the starting point.
Well, I wonder whether we can take this in two parts, in the sense that either the code as you drafted it should be adopted, or the code as I've drafted it should be adopted.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really need to discuss the issue about too big if 1A is agreed. So I think that I'd like to just briefly explain why I think that my redraft policy adds something to what you with others have done. I think firstly it takes account of online and offline bullying, and I think that's something that is increasingly an issue for people. And secondly, it highlights the different ways in which issues about bullying and harassment and complaints about them need to be dealt with. And they are very, and that's something very particular to a body like the parish council, rather than any other organisation where you're, where complaints of this nature arise. The councillors, like myself, go down one route in relation to the code of conduct the board signed up to, and anybody else goes down another route. And the other third point I want to make actually is rather sad in some ways, that the parish council's powers in relation to these matters, and I think these are very important matters, is actually very limited. It's limited to councillors in the sense that all the complaints go to somewhere else and they're dealt with somewhere else, not here. And that they and that creates a different circumstances. And so if somebody, a member of the public, and I'm looking at some of you now, were to be harassing us, or harassing somebody else, as it were, we would only have any power to do anything about it if it was in the context of a meeting like this. So it's very restrictive in that respect. And I wanted just to make it clear to people that that certainly nobody is diminishing the concern that bullying and harassment causes, but the way in which it's done in this particular context is both complicated and difficult.
Ian first.
The second note, yes, talks about code of conduct and the way the monitoring officer will consider the code of conduct. Yeah. It applies, it's pretty much all across the board for the council, so I understand it. It's a standard code of conduct. Would the monitoring officer even consider our own bullying policy? Because if they're not, then really it's an internal document that we're policing ourselves with. Mm. And we have to ask the question, do we need powers to do anything about that? We do if it's an employee issue, because that is covered by different legislation. So if it involves employees of the parish council, or an employer, or someone against, so employees of the parish council, or contract, or an employee who was saying something about contractor, then that will be covered by employment legislation. But parish council behaviour, it's a case of the code of conduct. So I appreciate the work that's gone into this, and I think it's very important that it's clear when in terms of employee. But I don't know what teeth it has to. And we put more words in there. I really don't know what it does for us. Because it's quite a complex subject, and that's just my view.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It would be helpful, Chair, if we could hear from the proposer of the policy that the clerk has drafted. Was it you, Councillor Robinson?
That wasn't the policy I gave to Andrew, that was completely changed.
Right.
That wasn't.
Okay.
So, for the avoidance of doubt, the clerk's policy was prepared by the clerk?
I get that. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
If I may,
Chair,
I've got
Jane wanted to say something.
Okay.
Very quickly. I recently, in my role as a governor of an educational establishment, had to do some official government training on bullying and harassment. It was about a 4-hour online course and then another course the following day. And I can understand where Ian is coming from, in that it really involved employees and people who work in a situation where there is some comeback. So you can take a grievance against somebody, for example. But I think, as Ian was saying, one of the problems we have is that we basically, putting it bluntly, don't have any teeth. We have this policy, which is called a council's policy. We have the councillor's code of conduct. Well, in many ways, it covers everything that's in the bullying and harassment policy. It's like, so I don't
see. Do we need another one?
Yeah, so why do we need another?
I mean, shouldn't we just find out, first of all, if we did produce our own, whether it would have any standing? Because if it's not going to have any standing,
what's the point in doing it?
So we've got to call it conduct, we're just going to stop people from bullying and harassing, is it?
No, that's true, but then that's why we've got the
monitoring
officer.
Would it make any difference just because we wrote a document?
Yeah, because we've still got to contact. We've still got to contact the monitoring officer and say, you know.
I'm going to find out if we did our own internal policy, whether that would have any kind of weight to it or repercussions.
I think I know the answer. May I speak, Chair?
Yes.
I think I know the answer to this, which is that the code of conduct, sorry, the bullying and harassment policy, if councillors, whatever's in that, basically absolutely applies to all council employees and it provide and to council contractors. So, once council signed up to that policy and it feels that the clerk, as its only employee, has driven a coach and horses through the bullying and harassment policy, then absolutely off it can go, you know, it's going, you've broken our policy, Andrew, this is not good, this is getting all the rest. Similarly, we could say to, say, JPB, you are bullying and harassing our members of the public, we're not happy, right? Absolutely. If it said that, you know, councillors can never call each other love, say, and would be considered bullying and harassment. Now, even if all councillors passed that this evening, actually, when some councillor does inadvertently call it that, this council has absolutely no power to make anything happen. Right. Consequence, I can look at you and go, oh, Jane really shouldn't have called me love, but nothing happens. The only person who can do anything about that is the monitoring officer, and the monitoring officer can only enforce the code of conduct.
Absolutely.
He cannot enforce anything else that is floating around. So that is that's not meant as an argument for or against it. That's just meant
that's
as a statement of
facts. That's the
fact.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm just interested as to why Councillor Robinson, in the first instance, because I know it's not your policy now. Brought it up because when you brought out to councillors in January, it was you who proposed it. Am I correct?
I wrote to Andrew, yes.
Yeah, but you wrote to all councillors saying we should have one.
Yeah, we should do. I think we should do.
Because at that time I wrote back to you and said, no, I gave a cautious support, but I was concerned that it wouldn't have the teeth that, councillors have now aired their own opinion about. And I think it's also right to say that. At the time, in January, February, possibly March, there was an expectation that the government would bring forward a new bill in the King's Speech to address the Code of Conduct because there was widespread national concern about the abuse of councillors by councillors. And fortunately, when the King's Speech came around, it got kicked into the long grass, so we may need to wait at least another year, but possibly even longer. I think I have to put my hand up and say I think the Suffolk Code of Conduct is not fit for purpose. And I think that's probably true of every code of conduct applying across the country. It's not sufficiently explicit, which I do think that both the Clark's draft and Roy's draft does set out some examples of what bullying is and have lifted that from other organisations, and I think that's helped. But a key problem that we have specifically here now is that councillors who bully others are permitted to hide behind the safety net of not using their councillor title when bullying online particularly. We've seen shameful outbursts on social media in this community against serving councillors, the chair, the clerk, district councillors, and this was initially provoked by a single councillor. But over time, he was joined on occasions by one or two other members, and infamously, by a member of the public, not resident, in this village. And we underwent a sustained period of abuse that could be no other description for it. But that's not the only source of bullying that we've had to endure. A councillor at this table wrote to the chair, threatening to take me outside and dispose of me. The code of conduct didn't work. Bullies can be violent, but they can also be cowards. But what they are mostly are people with an axe to grind. Now, a third and perhaps more insidious form of bullying has gained traction recently. Emails laden with passive aggressive language and suggestions which virtually signal as directions to this council and councillors have increased, as well as vexatious complaints about councillors and the council, all designed to intimidate the people that are sitting around this table trying their best to do a job for this community. And these emails are from one single councillor and one member of the public, mostly. Not exclusively, but mostly. Collectively, communications from those two sources have led to substantial time and resource being devoted to dealing with them. So why is bullying behaviour evident in this council? I don't go to other councils.
Got 10 seconds.
Okay. I don't go to other councils, so I can't speak about what happens there. But right now, I actually think that the policy on managing councillor behaviour is with the district council, and that's where it should remain.
Thank you.
Are we going to vote on something?
Roy wants to speak first.
Rush replies. I didn't ask for a bullying and harassment policy. But if one was going to be prepared, I felt it was one that had to contain some of the components that I've included in that draft. If people feel we don't want to have a bullying and harassment policy, then I'll be entirely content about this. The only point I would make is to really reinforce the point that's just been made, that part of the of 2B was to try to encourage the monitoring officer to be a little less specific in when he feels able to consider complaints made against people who are councillors, but who at the same time don't own up to being councillors when they make comments or when they bully and harass or whatever it is. So 2B was to try and, if not close that gap, but to make it clear to the district council monitoring officer that there is a problem here, he's not aware of it already, and to suggest that perhaps if we all agreed that that he could take a more lenient view of when people were speaking as a councillor, even when they don't admit it, then he might be do the same. But I doubt it, I suppose.
So, yeah.
I'd just like to say that I agree with what has been said, especially what Irene has put together. I think that what perhaps a lot of the members of the public don't understand is how much pressure we've been put under, especially online. I've also been subject to that many times. I think people have opinions of us as a council, but actually don't understand really what's been going on behind the scenes. And I've witnessed it as well with other fellow councillors. And it's just unbelievably disappointing, it's cowardly, and there's obviously, an ulterior motive going on. We are volunteers, we do this. I know I don't do this because I want to get something special out of it. I do it because I care about this village. And I don't believe that that's the reason that some of these people are on the council. And I think that they are out to make us miserable. And a lot of people wouldn't put up with what certainly some of us around this table have had to put up with in the last 3 years. Thank you.
Just a couple of points. We have previously had a discussion about the number of complaints being made to monitoring officers and how the number that in our parish council vastly exceeds anybody else, and that the
the reporting to the monitoring officer has become a tool used for bullying and harassing cats, because virtually all of those, I believe, have not been sustained. And the use of that tool, as you mentioned, is really cowardly, because the monitoring officer has very little power to do anything about the behaviour anyway, unless it is criminal. The monitoring officer can't remove the counsellor unless it's criminal. And to get a criminal offence is obviously something that, you know, if you were violent or something like that and punched someone, that would be a criminal offence. Or even physically, you know, threaten them, that could be a criminal offence, and that could lead to something.
Chair, if I may just amplify what Ian said, remind you all that a monitoring officer wrote to us a couple of months ago saying that one weekend they had over 40 complaints to them. 40. That's more than they would get, and then some districts get in a year from all the parishes. That's what's been happening in this village. And I don't think it's a laughing matter for anybody, because actually it's not just the resources of the individual councillors in answering these responses, it's not just the time with the clerk that he's called on to give evidence or whatever. It is tying up the Baber legal team in dealing with these matters. And I ask you to really search yourself and think about what the source of this problem is. Ask yourself, did it
happen
years ago? No, it didn't.
I mean, obviously there's a lot of very strong feelings here, but what do you want to do? Because we literally, our hands are tied here.
I don't want to do anything about it.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
There's nothing we can do about it. But I think it's important it's highlighted. I think it's incredibly important it's highlighted.
May I speak, Chair?
You may.
I meant when it became clear to councillors that they could decide not to propose or second any motions in this area whatsoever, and we would just move on to the next item. I want to make that clear.
Oh, that sounds... I could support
you just
that
need
as a motion.
You would just all need to look at the chair and say, can we move to the next item?
Can we
and then
move
we will.
To the next item, please, Chair?
Will Ian's finished?
Just a comment that we do need something to protect the our employees.
We do.
And do we have anything in place at the moment?
So, we don't have... So, we don't have a bullying and harassment policy. That means that if I was to be doing the bullying, there wouldn't actually be a specific policy that council could lean on, right? So, now actually what would support that, of course, would be the disciplinary policy. You'd simply say, Andrew, you can't behave like that, and look at your contract of employment. It says that you need to behave in a decent way. So I could make a very strong argument that actually not having a bullying and harassment policy doesn't affect your ability to manage your clerk.
Can I just say that all organisations are bound by law to have a bullying and harassment policy, as in organisations where you are employed. So Baby District Council will have a bullying and harassment policy that could be used by an employee of Baby District Council.
I would suggest the clerk checks the SALP list of policies and policy council must
they
have.
All have to
if we have to have one, we have to have one.
Yeah,
it's a brand new
okay.
one.
Because you do as employees.
Yes, you have to.
And ultimately an employee can either be fired or...
Yes, and you have to do the training as well. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All I will ask... As chair, I came back to parish council because I wasn't happy with how things were running. Thank you, everybody. You elected me to be your chair, and all I would say is perhaps sometimes we would sit back and reflect as to why we're actually here and what we want to do for the village and for ourselves.
Mm. Yes, I agree.
Mm. Okay. Can we... So, we've had the motion to move on. Let's move on.
Well, I don't know whether that's passed yet.
I'd like to move on.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay.
But the motion to... Okay, or an agreement that nobody's going to propose or second anything.
I'm not going to propose or second.
You're abstaining.
I'm in favour of
So you're not going to propose or second anything? No. You're not going to propose or second anything? No. 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 Right, then nobody proposed or seconded either of these motions. They died. We go to the next item. Good night.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, Paul. Right. Motion concerning possible improvements to the local bus services. Is this being brought up by Councillor Morford?
It is.
Councillor Morford?
I hope this is slightly less controversial than the previous item. I hope everyone's read the paper. What I've done there is report back from a discussion at the April meeting of the council, and the recommendations of hearing the goes to the bottom of their police that I hope people will find acceptable to move this on. I move.
So what does it tell me to do? I propose that council, which probably means me, should contact neighbouring parish councils and town councils along the bus route between Sudbury and Cockfield to ascertain whether they've submitted any bids for money. We should ask if they've submitted a bid, how it's progressing and what can we learn about it. If not, would they like to work with us? And we should remain open to further ideas from Lavenham residents and workplaces and develop initial draft proposals and make contact with the county council about bidding. Any of the results of any of this should be brought back to a further council meeting for further consideration.
And just as a footnote, I think that without Robert Lindsay here to ask, it's possible that some of this money has been will be allocated to some of the It's a suggestion that it might be useful.
I think it's a supportive proposed action, colleagues, but just to remind you, for those that maybe weren't around at the time when the money became available a couple of years ago, the Parish Council worked very closely with Sudbury Town Council, and that's why we got the first extension of the bus timetable. And we worked extremely closely together. We prepared the bid here in Lavenham, and in Sudbury they did the contact with the other councils, and the public response to it, the public engagement, was absolutely excellent. And I think that's something that we certainly should try again. I think it was Roy, it's probably right that Sudbury have gone it alone this time because they're getting money for the bus station, but it's still worth a stab.
Yes, Chris.
So the proposal was, I take it, makes Chris sense Roy. If it's Roy. Yeah. The seconder was Chris, because he just asked, and it would be.
Yeah.
Ah.
Oh, yes, I suppose.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
So, and Alison was absent at the time, wasn't she? She was absent at 2030, so. Okay, item 13 is me. Thank you, Ian. So, at the 4th of June, I was asked to bring a motion to a future meeting concerning the purchase of SID brackets. And I was also asked, or agreed, to ask Suffolk County Council whether we could use the Bury Road SID post. I wrote to Suffolk County Council, and Ian, there is their response. The post in your pictures you've sent is a SID post. You can use it. So they've been very clear. We can use that SID post. Ian, if you could go to the upper little touch to show the photograph. So let's be clear, that is, they have been very clear, I've seen the pictures from both sides, that that is a SID, and that, that is a SID post and we can use it. I appreciate that, you know, the SID post is on a bank and various other things, so it's difficult to work on, but clearly the starting point is there. We can use it. I was asked to go and get a quote for some clips. I did, and as you can see, they're £118 per post. I also, in this motion, attached the installation manual, because whoever's going to move these around needs to needs to be aware of how it works. So, Ian, if you go up a touch, the motion was, that's down, Ian. Is the motion is that we approach additional backplate with clips for the seal box at 118 quid, full stop.
May I ask a question? For you, Andrew. So this is so we can move an existing clip from one place to another.
Yes.
When you move them, do you also move the solar panel?
Yes.
So you do need separate clips for that?
So I answered, the question I asked them was, what stuff can you provide us to help them move them? And this is the email that came back. And then for the folk that are going to move them, that's why I attached the whole of the instructions to this, so they could see what they were letting themselves in for.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. I've driven around and I've seen the black plate, the back plate is sitting on signs without a SID sign. Mm. Do we need to buy more than one? Do we need to buy three of these? To put on First Meadow, should locals agree, Berry Road and Preston Road. We would change, we would leave the bracket and you just literally put the device
Since the brackets are only 118 quid, there isn't going to be that, and the postage or something was £15, there isn't that much sort of bulk discount to be had here.
No.
So my suggestion was we start with one, because then actually that would, the guys that are moving them around would then be able to see, this is really a help, this really works, this is a good idea, or no it isn't, rather than possibility of ending up with three brackets sitting in a shed somewhere just getting very cold.
And they're not all the same type of SID?
No,
we'd move one of the Harwood places into the various sites.
So
it'd be one SID moving. With the Melford Road one, is getting on a bit. The two Melford Road ones are new, so we'd move one of them.
So there's already a bracket on the Melford Road ones, so you can move it. It's not a special bracket.
This is from the Melford Road company. So the idea would be, rather than taking every single thing off that post,
you'd
leave the bracket on to make it easier for the folk to move it.
I think that sounds sensible.
Yeah, that's what we talked about. But Janice's point was my question about the solar panel needs to be attached higher up on the bracket.
So I asked them for all brackets that they could have, right?
Brackets that I have, so I'll make a bracket.
Figure 3, 15 inches.
Yeah, there's two different size posts, I think. It doesn't say 76 mm posts, don't you, that one?
76 mm posts.
Figure 3, that's for 76 mm posts.
Figure 4. That's the fit.
My very strong suggestion is that since I asked for all the brackets and things they could help to move them, that we purchase what they've offered us, it's 100 and something quid. An envelope will arrive. I will give it, I think it's going to be you and Michael who have offered to help. Appreciate Michael might not. I would give these things to you, and if you in the end wrote back and said, well, this was a great help, but actually four of the U-bolts would be a great idea, then I'll write to them and say, I know you didn't offer me four U-bolts, but can I buy four U-bolts off you? That way of doing it.
Yeah, I'll propose it.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Thank you.
So the proposer, sorry, was Chris, was it?
Yeah.
The seconder was?
Jane.
Jane. JR. Did that pass?
It hasn't been
voted
on yet.
It hasn't been
voted
on.
Yes.
Waiting for him. Irene.
Yes.
Yes.
Unanimous.
Yes.
I'll purchase some.
Okay, thank
right.
you.
Right. Next item is me. It's still, and it's maintenance of trees. So try and keep going at a decent pace. Right. So it's this. So this is quite accountancy speak. So I'll. In October, we got a quote of 19 grand of work for trees from our retained contractor. And this did include about 3,000 pounds of work for trees in the rec ground, which are actually the responsibility of the community council to do. So our cost, therefore, was £16,000. Back in November, we did £4,000 of this work, and it was all our work. So therefore, we're now not talking about, there's £12,000 work to go, so to speak. Also back in January, on the advice of the tree maintenance folk, we commissioned a tree survey, and that survey was completed, and then we passed the survey back to the tree contractor to have a little look. Right. And the next thing you need to know is that, okay, so the original quote for the council was £16,000. We did £4,000 last year, so that kind of leaves £12,000. But we didn't include as much as £12,000 in this year's budget. But we did include £10,000. So, you know, we made a good stab. Right. So, Ian, could you make it just show the box? Stay on that page. So the original quote, the PC portion, was 16,280 quid. We've done 4,000 of it, so there's 12,280 to go. This is the big sentence. The new quote is only £4,250. So you might go, woo! So there's an apparent saving of £8,000. But note that the cost of the work required in the REC, which is the community council bit, has actually gone up. It's gone the other way. Okay, so. But then the most important thing is to think why, following a tree survey, has the cost of this gone apparently down by £8,000? And here, Ian, just right at the bottom there, are the major causes. So the major cause of that £8,000, £3,700 of it, as it says there, so nearly half, relates to one tree. It's the large cedar in the churchyard, which the surveyor man didn't say you need to do something about. The contractor has written, well, you can read it there, I'm quite surprised that no work's been recommended. It's that because there is, maybe the English is not so great, but I didn't want to change his English because that's not fair. The fact is there is free pedestrian access and graves beneath. So basically, he is very surprised that the tree surveyor didn't pick that up. So that's half the difference. The next bit of it is 1,400 quid a difference, and this is because the tree survey, what a surprise, focuses on trees. It doesn't focus on encroaching hedgerow vegetation on the rear background of the churchyard, boundary rather. So I think that's a difference of scope between a tree person that also looks at hedges and a tree survey. The next is the difference is £800 because the tree survey didn't say that we should raise the lime trees away from the pavement in front of the churchyard, because basically I think he thinks those trees are in decent nick. Whether, on the other hand, actually, from the point of view of pedestrians they should be raised, is a different matter. And the next £800, again, is clearing brambles, so that's the difference in scope. Why is the community council bit has gone up? Because the survey has recommended work on two field maples in the rec ground, not included in the original quote. So we understand what's going on. That's what that piece of paper says. The next piece of paper behind it is that, but in much more detail. But, you know, people can have had a chance to read through it, maybe, or can. Now, I've not put a motion to this, and that was quite deliberate. Because what I wanted to do was, Ian, particularly if you could go back to the previous page, because that one's just too mind-blowing, not that one, and to understand how councillors wanted to take this forward. Whether they might, for instance, and I'm going to volunteer the chair here, suggest that the chair goes and clerk go have a chat with the tree surgeon, and whilst obviously the tree surgeon has our survey report, because that's how he did his second quote, and he has his original thoughts, but we could go have a chat with him and say, hello, right, now, what do you, you know, let's talk about this, and then I'm suggesting, Chair, that you and I would then come back with a proposal, having talked to the tree surgeon. So this wouldn't be a committing yourself to anything now, but when it's telling you folk, has anything happened here, or has everybody fallen asleep on the subject? No. Has it, as a result of the survey, the costs all tripled? Mm. No. Do we understand what the differences are between the two? Yes. will now go off and have a chat with folk. That would be a
yeah.
That would be my suggestion, frankly, but you know, other people will have a go.
I would propose you go for a chitty chat.
Yeah,
Richard. Yeah, I would as well. You okay. Might go with another researcher.
Ian first, then you.
I just think it shows the value in tree survey that's independent of the person doing the work.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it allows us then to say, well, we're not happy with the work, we're happy with someone else for a work.
Mm.
It's the person that's defining the work and is defining the code as well. They may have an opinion that work's needed when perhaps we don't need it.
And good practice.
And frankly,
it's good practice. Yeah. So what we call is good practice is brilliant. But we don't need to do as much work as we want.
Or council may decide that actually that they do want that they'll look at the cedar and they'll decide they want it cutting, and that reduces the difference down hugely. But that's a decision for the future.
I can't talk about which tree it was because I can't remember, but it's not that long ago because I was a councillor at the time. That one of the trees in the churchyard, I think, went crashing through the fence of an adjoining property.
That was in the cemetery.
Yeah.
That was in the cemetery.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, the cemetery, not the cemetery. Yeah. So I do think that, you know, we need to be mindful of some of these trees getting to gigantic proportions and the risk to neighbouring properties, and then it's down to us to put it right.
Mm.
Yeah, right. Can Chris speak, please?
All the high voltage power lines go through First Meadows and they turn at 90 degrees and then go across First Meadows. There was signs up recently saying that these trees are going to be trimmed around because they have to be a certain distance from the high voltage cables. Mm-hmm. Is it worth speaking? Because I don't know if that's been done.
Power network.
Yeah, because I don't know if it's been done. I haven't seen them there, but there was signs, because the signs been put up on my property that they're going to come and trim the trees.
I would imagine they'll do it after the 1st of September.
They might do, but it might be worth trying to find out what trees are going to be trimmed, because they might trim some of the ones that need trimming for us.
They might.
It's a thought.
Okay, so we need to contact.
And they have put signs up on the trees.
I think I've got a piece of paper from, because I walked around with the, basically the power person.
Yeah.
So I can bring that into the party.
Mm. Yeah, just in case, if they can let them do them and say something.
The power people will only do ones near power lines, but they are taking that seriously, to be fair to them.
Yes.
So therefore, when we go talk to tree surgeon, you say, if it's touching a power line,
leave it,
yes.
Okay.
But we can have a chitty chatty if that's the...
Yeah, we'll have a chitty chat.
Is everyone happy that that's the...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Did you want to say anything else, Irene?
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's maintenance of trees. The next item is a discussion about the proximity of watercourses in First Meadow.
Chris.
So, again, councillors have had a chance to read this, so reading every single bit of it I don't think is required. But the gist of this is, no, I'm not aware of any accidents having been recorded consequent of watercourses near First Meadow, which is the river at the back and the sort of drainage ditchy thing at the side. However, there are three or so paths through the nettles that go from the back of First Meadow down to the river. The nettles have been deliberately allowed to grow for many years, I think, Jack, long before... And to be clear, nobody is cutting down those nettles, right? However, there are three or so little muddy paths. Now, but those muddy paths, they don't begin near the play equipment, and actually, also, they're not on the way to, say, something like a shop or a school or something else. They really are. You'd go down them only if you wanted to go to the river, and you're trying quite hard, because it's a long way from the swings. But there are these paths. The next thing is that we have the bridge over the ditch, if you like, which it is properly fenced, to put up a sort of Berlin Wall type fence so that no kid could ever... You know, it's just not sensible. And actually, frankly, although this is not this shouldn't be used as an argument for the parish council doing nothing, if I was a kiddie, the far the most fun bridge to play on is the one over Clay Lane, isn't it? That's where you'd go to play poo sticks. That's the one where you'd go and jump down in it. Yeah. And again, whilst that's not an argument for us doing nothing, if Suffolk was to try and stop people, you know, playing off that bridge, you know, a 9-year-old Alison, it would be a 30, you know, how big would that fence have to be?
Our kids have all played there, haven't they, Jack?
I mean, it's just, there's only so much you can do. But I think actually, I do want to say thirdly to councillors, because it was the Suffolk County Council bridge that's actually the most dodgy, because that's the one that's funnest, most fun to play on. This that we've then quoted from the manual on these things, that basically says that fencing is really not your way forward. It then goes on and talks about positioning, you know, whether you put life rings, etc. there, and it says that those really are not a very good idea, particularly because it says it makes a sort of false sense of safety. And then what it recommends is signs, and that would be, that's certainly my recommendation as your clerk, that we get someone to put some signs down sort of the end of the muddy path that says, stop, you don't want to be going down here.
You know, there's that, if you go into First Meadow and you go past the play equipment and turn left and just walk right down the end, there's a group of children who play there practically every day, and they have this wonderful slide area that they've made, and they go down into the water. Now, it's quite deep. I mean, it's probably about from, you know, the notice there down, because I see them when I take my dogs up Clay Hill, usually if it's after school and they're all in their uniform, and there's four or five of them, there's like, you know, three macho boys and a whole load of girls giggling, watching them, and they go down this slope into the water. And I have to be careful if I take my dogs there, because one of my dogs tries to go down the slope as well into the water. But you can't see it unless you go right down, because it's all behind the trees.
And that's where I did do the walk right. So let's be clear, I'm unaware of these kids, right?
I'm absolutely
horrified. I'm horrified.
I'm absolutely unaware of these kids, but I did do the walk, and that's why we.
Oh, they're there regularly, absolutely, when they come out of school.
Are they the primary?
London Primary School sweatshirts on.
The problem is that kids will be kids.
Yeah, kids will be kids.
Sideboats aren't going to stop them.
And they've all made little bridges in the water.
May I
speak to
you? Oh, yes, sorry. Yes.
Yes, I mean, the only place that I can think of fairly locally that is similar to First Meadow is, don't remember the name of the pub, but there's a pub, I don't even remember the name of the village, Royal Tail, it's the hardest, I can't remember, where there's a big pub garden with play equipment. And I've never actually seen the water, but there's signs up that at the end of this big play area that is a water course.
Oh, yeah,
and they have got
the
signs up.
Yeah.
Because it's a parental responsibility, basically. But what you're describing, Jane, fills me with horror.
Mm.
It really does.
It would worry me if it was being done in the wintertime, but in the summertime, with 6 inches of water in the river.
To be fair, I haven't actually seen Cadet, but the slides I need to have what they were actually done.
What is that noise?
The shutter on the other side. Sorry, Janice, would you like to speak there?
I did want to speak.
I'm sorry.
I would say that I think the risk is minimal. Mm. Nobody is being encouraged to walk down those little muddy paths. In fact, we've done everything we can to dissuade people by keeping the vegetation, particularly nettles and brambles there. There's not a destination. But I think to be prudent, we should have some signage. If only for, we do get a lot of visitors, and so people who, because it's so covered by all the vegetation, people might actually not know that there's a river there. And so just to highlight to parents. Now, if you tell people there's a river there, of course, children who can read may think, oh, look, there's a river, let's go and have a look at it. But
I think if we've got signs up, I know this sounds a bit brutal, but it does sort of protect us.
Mm. Yes, that's
and then there is, really, I mean, as I said, my kid's been there, your kid's been there. You have to be aware of what they're doing, you know, and when you see them
disappearing, you have to grab them. So, you know, I think it is done, yeah, but we do need to have some signage.
Yeah, my very big kid, he used to walk down the river, so...
There used to be a rope where they could swing across the river, but yeah. The rope snapped now.
It just gets better and better.
But it's one of the things, and if you're, because we looked at it, we researched, and then you pick up Forest School, and Forest School are encouraging the kids to go play in the river and stunk about it, and so, you know, here's what, where do you go? So, yeah.
Well, to be fair, we've always had many happy hours down there.
But I'm happy to propose this motion.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I always say to kids, if I see them, just be careful.
Shouldn't we have invited Chris to come back in again?
Now we've done the vote, we can.
Now we've done the vote.
Chris chose to be out for that motion. Are we finishing?
So now we have the vote on whether to exclude the public or not.
Sorry, we're now going to have a vote to...
Chris absolutely is entitled to vote, to be fair, so is Eileen.
Sorry?
So, motion 16, every councillor is entitled to vote on this.
Okay. This is to, part two, close the session of the council and the public will be asked to leave. That is the motion. Can I have a proposer, Lizzie? And a seconder, Roy? And...
Yes.
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 Okay. So everybody voted. Make sure I heard properly.
Yes.
Everybody voted yes, but
Chris.
Chris and Frank. Yes.
So are we on to the pub match?
Yeah, on to the pub. Enjoy.
Can we just all bubble?
Yeah. Can you just
explain
it?
Because you voted on it.
So the councillors have voted. So legally, councillors have voted to exclude the public from discussion of the next item. So once they've done that, whatever the next item is, you can exclude it. Pardon? Confidentiality. It is confidentiality.
Yeah,
that's the answer.
Can I stand
there? Very good.
We'll make sure that they get 15 years of
confusion. You can't see why, if you recall the meeting.
We're not. We're not.
Same as last time we did
watch that on the years, apparently, actually.